Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another broadcast of Real Life with Rich and Christ. I want to thank you for being here because you're going to find out that this show is not like any other show in Christian media today, because I don't talk about what most quote-unquote Christian programming talks about. The reason the name of this program is Real Life with Rich in Christ is because that's exactly what it's about. It's about our real life in Him. And the fact that we have daily problems, we have daily struggles, every single one of us. And in fact, if you're not having a struggle today, that's probably a reason to question your maturity as far as the walk in Christ. Because the struggles and the trials that we deal with every day are the litmus test of where our heart is. I've been thinking of the way that the early church approached the trials of life. And I'm thinking of the passage in 2 Corinthians where Paul, at the very end of this passage, I think it's 2 Corinthians 12, 1 through 10, where he says, I delight in hardships, in persecutions, in troubles. I mean, he delights in it. And over in James, you hear James say, consider it pure joy. Or another translation says, all joy, when you face trials of many kinds. So what was it that these guys saw that the church today doesn't see? And why was it they were able to see their trials, which were real trials? I mean, when you're talking about being shipwrecked, you know, and floating around in the water for 3 days and three nights, and it happens a couple of times, not just once. You're talking about being in a prison, which is nothing more than a hole in the ground, or being beaten with rods, or receiving the 40 lashes minus one. I mean, those are real trials. And that's what they dealt with in that day and age, because they were under another rule. And so what would happen with us if all of a sudden the United States went to Russian rule or Chinese rule? I mean, it's bought and paid for by China anyway, you know, so it might as well be, but that's another story. But what would happen? And so they say, consider it all joy. All joy when you face trials of many kinds. And we've been fed this lie that if you suffer, then there's something wrong with your walk with God. I was sharing with a lady last night on a private message, doing some coaching, some life coaching. And I was just sharing with her the grace of God and the fact that the grace of God is without any performance. And I put up a passage, and she'd come back and say, well, yeah, that makes sense, and that's good, but what about this? And it would go right back to performance again. And I'd put something else up there, and then I'd say something else that, you know, for me would be life and ministry and hope and peace. And all it did was stir up more of a suspicion, I guess, of, well, this isn't, you know, what I was hearing come through between the lines was this isn't what I've heard all my life. And she shared with me this horrible spiritual abuse that she'd gone through in her life, over the course of her life, her father being a pastor. And I've got a chapter in my book. It's called Nothing is Lost. I read it a couple weeks ago. It's day 16. I have a 31-day devotional deeper life devotional. You're not going to find anything like it out there. Because it's not talking about you having to do anything. It's not a 10-step guide to maturity. It's a book that allows you to see you in your weakness and in your inability to do anything, especially live the Christian life, and then see the love of God right there, approving of your weakness instead of chastising you for it, but pointing his finger at you and saying, you know, you need to get strong. You know, I have people ask me for prayer once in a while, and I pray that if God strengthens me. I don't pray God strengthens anybody. I don't pray God strengthens me. I prayed in 1983 when a brother came to me, and I, after reading Andrew Murray and Watchman Nee and some of the other real authors of our recent Christian history, going back to the 1900s, and he said to me, Rich, do you want everything God has for you? Because he saw something in me. He saw this desire after coming out of a life of alcohol and drugs and that whole 70s culture. He saw this thing in me. He said, you want everything God has for you? And he knew it because he was reading these authors too. But he knew up here, he didn't know in his heart. He didn't know, he didn't have the 18-inch conversion yet. And I said, of course. And he said, well, then pray this prayer. And he prescribed a prayer to me, just like a doctor handing you a prescription. And it was, Lord, bring me to the end of myself and give me a revelation of who I am in Christ, which is a revelation of who Christ is in me, too, because it goes both ways. And I asked God right there to take me to weakness, because I knew early in my walk, after reading the Andrew Murrays and the Watchman Nees and the different people that were proclaiming the real gospel, I knew early in my walk that I wasn't going to be able to do this. I was a failure in everything I did. I went to work on the railroad because my brother did. I failed that. I mean, I failed in everything. And so I knew that I wasn't going to be able to walk the Christian walk. And so God began to reveal to me, step by step, over 30 years, what that prayer was all about. And he started out by showing me the rest of God. And he gave me a little, he just put this in my head. If you enter into the rest of God, then you enter into the rest of God. And that means the rest of God as in the remainder of what it is he has for us in this life. And then he brought me to showing me that I couldn't hold on to my old life and have the life of Christ. So the second word that he gave me was release. Let go, let God, you know. And over another long season, he showed me what release was. And then the third word that he gave me was receive. After reading Norman Grubb's stuff back in the 90s, I realized I couldn't produce anything. I wasn't a producer. I never have been a producer. As a type A, high energy, go after it, perfectionist, who's completed 4 college degrees with high honors, I had to come to the place of knowing apart from him, I can do nothing. Starting to rain here. This is real life. We've got 2 showings for our house today. We're really excited about that because we're selling it. And now it's pouring out. Yesterday it was beautiful, sunny, awesome. And so that's real life. That's the way it is. That's God showing me again that I have no control over anything. And he's in control of it all. So he brought me to release, and then I had to learn to receive. And receiving is harder than anything, especially when you live under the illusion of being a producer, as long as I did. And how did he teach me to receive? He brought me into injury and sickness. He brought me into places where I'd never been physically. 2011, I spent 77 days flat on my back in excruciating pain. And if Facebook wasn't around, I may not be alive, because my Facebook family raised up enough money for me to get an MRI and found out I had an abscessed infection in my spine. Went into the hospital and found out I had a grapefruit-sized tumor on my kidney. So they removed my kidney. And I could have died from either one of them. And so he taught me to receive. And then when I came out of the hospital, I weighed 162 pounds. I'm 205 usually. I had to learn to walk all over again because I was 77 days on my back. My muscles atrophied to the point I had to learn to walk again. And there were no prospects. We had a business, lost the business, didn't have medical insurance. And then God sent this wonderful answer to prayer that Linda and I have been praying since we met, because we know this message is not an easy message. The message I preach is Christ and Him crucified, which is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are saved by it, it's the power of God. If you hear an echo, it's because our house is, everything's off the walls, and we're packing up by faith. Even though we haven't had an offer, we're packing up by faith. But so here we are today. And through the trials and the tribulations, and in the middle of the fire, just like the three Hebrew children, I wrote an article the other day, and I said, you know, because their whole heart was God's, they were thrown into the furnace. They didn't come out with the smell of smoke or fire or anything else that had to do with those flames. And the reason they were thrown into the furnace is because of the love of God. Because when they looked around, there was a fourth one in that furnace with them, and he looked like the Son of God. This is Old Testament stuff. This is King Nebuchadnezzar. This is in the Daniel 3:25. This is the pre-carnate Christ showing these three kids, I'll never abandon you. I'll never leave you or forsake you. I love you with an unconditional love. I could never love you more than I do right now. And it has nothing to do with your Bible study or your church attendance or how much you tithe or your deliverance ministry or anything else you think you can do for me. Because the truth is, God doesn't want us doing anything for him. It's an impossibility for us to do anything for God. Think of the stupidity of that phrase. I'm doing this for God. I'm working for God. Think of the immaturity in that. It reminds me of a little kid who's got his lunchbox, his little, you know, cartoon character lunchbox. And he watched his daddy walk out the door to go to work. And he walks out the door with him. He's going to go to work for his daddy. And I just got that from the Lord. That's exactly what it's like. What can you do for God? What did you ever think you could do for God? And how did we come to that place where we thought we could actually do something for God? If you go to Genesis 3, you see an amazing thing happen. You see this couple who was united in a union relationship with God, the first couple, and loved him with everything in them, and never had anything to fear or worry about or even think about. You see them talking to this character, and this character introduces deception, and then they fall for it. And then what's introduced into their life next is choice. They never had to choose anything. They never had to choose to do anything for God or for themselves. It was all provided for them. They didn't take a thought for their life. You know, the whole purpose of the redemption of Jesus Christ is to take us back to the garden state of our life, so we can see we are still cared for, loved. He's still living in and through us. He's still doing it all. And so choice was introduced to them, and with choice came confusion and every evil work. And I don't mean evil by the way that the people of today, the performance-based culture, has defined evil. Jesus defines evil in Matthew 6:22-24 in a whole different way than the culture, Christian or otherwise, defines evil. Jesus said, if your eye is single, it's full of light. But if your eye is evil, it's full of darkness. Well, that has nothing to do with behavior. It has nothing to do with performance. It has nothing to do with the five extra special sins of humanity. You know, lust, greed, murder, adultery, you know, all those. Because evil, from the Jesus perspective, because he could only do what he saw his Father doing, because the only thing he was ever looking at was his Father. When he was looking at Pontius Pilate, he was looking at his Father. And he says, if your eye is single, it's full of light. That means if you see only me in all things at all times, you're walking in the light. But if you see duality and separation and division, and you see me as the God up there, the punishing, cruel taskmaster who looks nothing like a father, then you're full of darkness. Because that's the basis, the foundation of your life, is the love of God. And if you haven't got that right, then your whole life is going to be skewed from that point. That's why that prayer came to me. Do you want everything that God has for you, Rich? You want it all? Then pray this prayer. Lord, bring me to the end of myself. And what happened over 30 years and still happening today? The prayer that keeps on giving? What happened is I learned the love of God minus performance. I learned the complete and total acceptance of God in spite of my behavior. And I now know that the one that I've committed everything to is able to keep that which I've entrusted to him against that day. And this is the third thing I learned, and that day is today. There is no other day except today. There's no yesterday in Christ. There's no tomorrow in Christ. We live in the day. And what's more, when you understand the revelation of the manna, when you understand that, we find out that we not only live in the day, but we live in the now. We live moment to moment. From glory to glory, 2 Corinthians 3:18. From weakness to weakness is what God showed me glory to glory is, as far as he's concerned. and we see weakness as the greatest asset we can have instead of this thing that we avoid and ignore and abhor. The grace of God has appeared. Would that bring salvation to all men? He's appearing right now. He's appearing in us. And whatever you're going through today, you don't have to worry about it because God is right in the middle of it. And he couldn't be more in the middle of your trial if you asked him to be. That's the real gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel that says, because I do know that God loves me without condition, and he'll never forsake me. And because I do know what Paul meant when he said his power is perfected in my weakness. Because I do know that I am his absolute negative, created to be his negative, so his positive strength could flow into me and power could be released for others and not for myself. Because I do know that real adult, mature Christianity has not one thing to do with education. Not one. Because if you know Jesus Christ, you know revelation is what leads your life, and revelation will take you to real education, which is not a form of godliness, and which is not knowledge that puffs up, but it's the love of God that builds up. That's real revelation. That's what the body of Christ is looking for today. And they're never going to find it. They're never going to find it in institutional Christianity, because institutional Christianity is set up to keep the institutional Christians institutional infants in Christ. Wow. But the leaders can't trust God day by day for their sustenance that's coming directly from his hand, just like the prophet who went to the woman of Zarephath and her oil and flour never ran out. And her son that died, that was the treasure of her life, was given back to her. The leadership in the church today cannot walk in that kind of faith, which is the faith of the Son of God, living in and through them as the vessel, temple, branch, lamp of God. If the leadership can't see that his word is a lamp to their feet for the next step, because that's all we were created to do, is to walk in the next step, then there's a big problem. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you for this day, Lord. I thank you, God, for the opportunity to be here. Ask, Lord, that you unstop the ears of those who are listening to this and you open their eyes to see the truth of who they are in Christ. Folks, I'm giving away my book. It's a 31-day devotional. It's called Rich in Christ. It's not about me. It's about you. Even if you don't know you're rich in Christ, you are. For anybody that leaves a private message, leaves their name and address on private message on my Facebook, Rich Novek, Novek, I'll send it to you free. Our ministry will send it to you free in postage paid. And so I do this show usually every Wednesday. I ask that you pray for us. We've got two showings on our house today. And I pray that you have an awesome week. Till then, God bless.